Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda, Gaur Premananda, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale. Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pachana Nivasa Sambhani Vasakjade Satana. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalan. Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sujivam, Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's December 24th, 2010 in Vrindavan. A reading from Bhagavad Gita 9:13. Mahatmanastu mam parta.
Mahatmanastu mam parta.
Daivim prakritim ashrita.
Daivim prakritim ashrita.
Vajanyananya manasa.
Vajanyananya manasa.
Vinatva bhuta dimavyayam.
Vinatva bhuta dimavyayam.
Please chant.
Mahatmanastu mam parta.
Mahatmanastu mam parta. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Vajanti ananya manaso. Jnanatva bhutatim avyayam. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Vajanti ananya manaso. Jnanatva bhutatim avyayam. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Vajanti ananya manaso.
Mahatmanaha, the great souls, to, but, mam, unto me, partha, O son of Pritha, diving, divine, prakritim, nature, ashritaha, having taken shelter of, Vajanti, vendor service, Ananya Mansaha, without deviation of the mind, Natva, knowing, Bhutva, Bhuta, of creation, Adim, the origin, Avyayam, inexhaustible. So this verse is in contrast, just put it in context. If you go back to text 11, Abhijananti Mahmudha Manishim Tanamashritam. Padam Bhava Majananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwari. Okay, so here, Krishna's talking about those who don't accept that he's the Supreme Lord. And in the next verse, it says that for such people, everything is spoiled, everything is baffled. Moga, right? Their karma is baffled. Their gyan is baffled. They're taking shelter of bewilderment. And Prabhupada says, Chandrasekhar asked me the other day why Srila Prabhupada in his purport to text 12 says that even devotees may not be going back to Godhead, even people who appear to be devotees. And if you look at the commentary of Baladeva Vibhushana, he explains that if someone is apparently a devotee but they don't accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, they're just going through the motions as something ritualistic or external, and then they don't actually get the fruits of going back to home, back to Godhead. One must accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So here in this verse, we have the word to. So this is in contrast, but, however. So first we've been looking at these people, they don't accept Krishna. But here are the people who do. They are the Mahatmas. Now, of course, the literal meaning of Mahatma is Maha means great, big. So it's not that the Mahatmas, the Maha Atmanas, are bigger souls in a spatial sense. It's not that some souls are only one ten-thousandth the tip of the hair and other souls are 1,000th the tip of the hair. So what do we mean by the Mahatma, the great souls? I mean diving prakritim ashritaha. So the difference between those who have accepted Krishna and those who haven't accepted Krishna is where their ashritaha is, where their shelter is. So this is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes a lot, and it's a particularly applicable verse for us here in Vrindavan. Because who is this diving prakriti? Who's the diving prakriti? Radharani. Srimati Radharani. Okay, let's read Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, let's read the verse yet. Ostanaprita, those who are not deluded. So again, this is in contrast to those who were deluded. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So those who are not deluded, who are in the truth, they're under the protection of Srimati Radharani, and they have an undivided mind, Ananya Manaso. They're fixed in their mind. Why? Because Gnatva Bhutanim Avyayam. They know that Krishna is the origin and inexhaustible. And then in the next verse, we're going to get more specifics, right? Satyatam Kirtayantumas. What exactly do they do when they're under the shelter of the divine energy? So Sri Prabhupada's purport to text 15. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. So those are our choices. Control of material nature or control of divine nature. And how is this affected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes free from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. What is that verse? To which Prabhupada's referring? Daivyesha gunamayi rama maya drajaya. Mam evaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Taranti, that I deliver them. Do you know another name for Srimati Radharani is Tarani, she who delivers. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Now that's the beginning. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way by surrendering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains the stage of great soul, Mahatma. So according to this first paragraph of the purport, what is the first thing that one has to do? Surrender to? And as soon as you surrender to Krishna, what happens?
Freedom.
You get freedom from material nature, and you get the protection and the shelter of the divine nature. Divine nature. You can just imagine, so if someone's in prison and they get released, their father is a big man, he gets them released from prison and he takes them home to their mother. So instead of being under the control of the wardens in the prison, and then they're fed their favorite food by their mother. The Mahatma does not divert his attention. Now here Prabhupada speaking about Ananya Manasa. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma... Now it's interesting, Prabhupada here just says, there's no doubt about it. Now there's other purports where Srila Prabhupada will quote verse after verse after verse after verse after verse from different shastras to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. So if you may ask, well, how do we do this? What is this surrendering and shelter process? So here Prabhupada's giving a key that if you want to become a Mahatma, you associate with other Mahatmas. Pure devotees are, now this is interesting. Chris Prabhupada says different things in different places. Here he says, pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. Now, are there pure devotees of the Lord who are attracted to Ramchandra or to Narayana? Of course. Of course. In fact, just this morning I was reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the death of Anupam, the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was speaking with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, we tried to get our brother to worship Lord Krishna. I told him how sweet Krishna was. And we even initiated him into a Krishna mantra. And then our brother came to us after trying all night and he said, I'm sorry, I've sold my head to Ramachandra. So even though he had Rupa and Sanatana as his brothers, just imagine, Rupa and Sanatana as your brothers, and still he was attached to Ramachandra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He said, yes, I tested Mauri-Gupta in this way. He said, glorious is the servant who doesn't give up his master, and glorious is the master who doesn't give up his servant, that if he runs away, he drags him back by the hair. So, does Krishna ever do that to you? He's done that to me a few times. Hare Krishna. Probably doing it to me about every 5 minutes. So obviously there are pure devotees of the Lord who are attracted to the other incarnations of the Lord. So we know that these purports are Srila Prabhupada's ecstasies. And we find that there are some times when Prabhupada says, yes, worship any form of the Lord. And then there are other times when Prabhupada says, no. The pure devotees are only attracted to Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Atmanastumam partha daivim prakritima shritaha vajantya nanya manaso gnatvabhuta rimavyayam. Such a beautiful verse. Daivim prakritima shritaha. And if you turn, if we all have exactly the same edition, it's on page 668. Text 10, chapter 16. Here Prabhupada says, here Krishna says, Kamam Ashutya, speaking about the demons. The demons take shelter of lust. Another place in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ahankara Ashutya, to take shelter of false ego. We all are, being very small souls, we all have shelter, have something as our shelter. Have something as our shelter. We cannot actually live without some sort of shelter. I mean, on a physical basis, it's very difficult to live without a physical shelter. I mean, some tapasvis, they live without a shelter. They live out in the open, without even a tree. But generally, to live without some shelter is very difficult. Isn't it? But shelter is mostly not so much talking about, do you live in a house made of bricks and stones? But who do we think is going to protect us and maintain us? And we talk about surrender. Here Prabhupada's talking a lot about surrender. And of the six items of surrender, two of them are Krishna is my protector and Krishna is my maintainer. So generally we think that something in this world will protect us and maintain us. We think our building of stones, our clothing, our friends, our family, our society, maybe our knowledge, maybe our talents, perhaps the way that we take care of ourselves as we have something that we do very well that people pay us to do, and we think, well, that's what's maintaining me. That's my shelter. We tend to think we have some shelter other than Krishna. And I always find it interesting, this concept in the 16th chapter of this Kamashrita, to take shelter of lust. Practically speaking, if we have the shelter of the material energy, then we're really taking shelter of lust, particularly lust, or desire to be the controller of material sense objects. We also have the shelter of our ahankar, our false ego. You might say, well, what does that mean? You have the shelter of lust. If you really think about it, we all see that we have things like lust and envy and greed in our heart, right? We may not see it every minute or even every day, but certainly Krishna reveals to us how we have these things in our heart. And yet we find it so hard to get rid of them, isn't it? Yeah, you may notice that, oh, I'm being critical of that devotee. I think I'm better than this person. I'm so proud of this thing. I mean, I become proud of absurd things, like what kind of socks I have. Saw some devotee offering obeisances today, and as they offered obeisances on the bottom of their feet, you could see the holes in their socks. And I thought, well, I don't have any holes in my socks. How absurd. Of course, I do have holes in my socks. I just don't wear those. So we notice these things. We notice our pride. We notice our envy, our greed. And why is it so hard to get rid of them? Do you know why? Because we like them. There are shelters. There are shelters. It's very difficult to see that. I was working with one devotee, doing some counseling with one devotee who was really struggling in their life. And I finally asked them, I said, please ask Krishna, what are you attached to that's preventing you from making progress? And then he called me the next day. He said, it's just gross sensual lust. I said, well, are you ready to give that up? And he said, well, if I give it up, I won't take care of my family anymore. I'm afraid that if I didn't have any lust, I wouldn't do my responsibilities. I'd stop maintaining my wife, I'd stop maintaining my children. And then if I didn't maintain my family anymore, well, people would criticize me in ISKCON, and then they'd say, oh, look at that irresponsible person who isn't doing his duties anymore. And then if people criticize me, then I wouldn't be able to do my service anymore. Because I'm a preacher and I'm a leader, and then people would say, well, how can we ask this person to preach when he's... And it went on and on and on and on. And then if I didn't do my service anymore, then they wouldn't give me any prasadam. I wouldn't have any place to stay. So we're really all doing that. We're really all doing that. Just like we've sometimes had some people in our lives that really, they weren't helping us in our life, but we had a hard time leaving their association. You ever have some people like that? Maybe when you first started practicing Krishna consciousness, you had some friends who wanted you to do things that weren't very good for your Krishna consciousness. And you knew that they weren't good association, but you had a hard time walking away from them. So that's like that with our shelters. I'm thinking that my envy, my lust, my false ego, it gets me what I need. I mean, if I didn't have any false ego, then I would just be humble and I'd be a servant, and then people would walk all over me. I wouldn't even get in line for prasadam, and nobody would remember to feed me, and I'd starve. That's actually how we think. That's what the mind is telling us all the time. If you gave up your false ego, all these terrible things would happen. You need your false ego. It's your shelter. It's what's protecting you and maintaining you. If you didn't have any greed, you wouldn't work to get things. You would just be satisfied with what you had, and you would just sit around all day and do nothing. You have to have greed. That's your impetus for action. And we accept it. We say, yes, yes, you're right. Yes, 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 you're right. I need you. You're my shelter. So therefore, the first step is saying, Krishna, I surrender to you. And surrender to Krishna means, there are six parts of surrender, but we'll look right now at just those two. Krishna, you're my maintainer, and you're my protector. I mean, first of all, if we're honest, our false ego, our lust, our envy, our greed, does it do a really good job of maintaining us and protecting us? Do we really like the way it does it? I mean, even if they get us some things that we want, the price is really high. They don't give us the real satisfaction that we're looking for. They're very bad masters. And the acharyas sing like that, I've served my senses and my mind. And what benefit do they do me? They're just whipping me. I saw one boy on a young boy, little boy, on a bullock cart. It's a little boy. They shouldn't have put him on the bullock cart. He was hitting that animal constantly with a big stick. You know, he didn't understand. He was a child. So that's what our anger and our envy and our lust and our pride, that they're constantly hitting us with a stick. So yeah, I'm going somewhere. We think because of these things, I'm getting somewhere, I'm getting what I want, but what is the price? And when I get that thing, is it even perfectly what I want? So first thing is, Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my shelter. Not my knowledge, not my cleverness, not my wonderful personality, not my people skills, not my friends, not my family. What did the Bhagavatam call all of these? Are what? Fallible soldiers. And how many times have we seen that they're just toy soldiers? So probably not the ladies, but did you guys used to play with toy soldiers when you were little?
Yes.
Yeah. I did at my cousin's house. Otherwise, I couldn't play with him because it's the only game that he let me play was his toy soldiers. They're just made out of metal or plastic. They can't really shoot a gun. They can't really protect you. And we see that sometimes, don't we? Don't you see that sometimes? Sometimes we see, you know, our husband, our wife, the head of the Brahmacharya Ashram, our temple president, our GBC person, our building, our clothes, our knowledge, our body, can't protect us. It isn't our shelter. I mean, how much we depend on our body. So scary thinking, you know, I might break my leg or have a stroke or have a heart attack, and then I'll be in a wheelchair, and how will I be able to get what I need? I have to take care of my body. We see, I can't depend on my body. It may fail at any moment, isn't it? I can make so many plans, and then my body says, I'm going to get sick right now. And instead of doing what you want to do, you're going to be vomiting in the bathroom. Where's the shelter? Where's the shelter? And then we get angry if we think that, you know, ISKCON as an institution is our shelter. Then we get angry when our temple president or our GBC or our temple commander don't treat us the way we want. If we think our husband or our wife is our shelter, we get angry when they don't want to do what we want. We get angry at our body. We get angry at the weather. We get angry at the person maintaining our house. You're supposed to be taking care of me. Instead of thinking, what a fool I am, taking shelter of a plastic soldier. I'm a fool. How can you get angry at the little metal or plastic toy? They don't have that capacity. So someone with intelligence takes shelter of Krishna. Here Prabhupada said one becomes one-pointed. Only think about Krishna. That doesn't mean I forget to feed my children. Well, I'm only thinking about Krishna. Why should I think about you? But if I know that Krishna is my protector and maintainer, then I'm doing everything as a service to him. If I think my body's my protector and maintainer, guess who I'm serving? My body. If I think my husband or my father or my friend or my temple commander is my shelter, then all my happiness depends on whether or not that person is happy, whether or not that person treats me nice. Then my purpose for serving the temple commander or my husband or this or my country or my house or my becomes, oh, then they'll take care of me. But if I know that Krishna's taking care of me, then my purpose for serving the temple commander, my purpose for taking care of the house, my purpose for bathing my body is to make Krishna happy. My happiness then depends on, is Krishna happy? And that's easy. That's easy to make Krishna happy with you. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayadatmana. He's not hard to please at all. It's easy to please. You say his name and he's happy. Even just say Sinarama and you don't even mean to talk to him and he's happy. He's thrilled. Just talk to your son who's named Narayana and he's happy. He says, oh, you're calling me. Come home. I was calling my son. That's all right. It's very easy to make him happy. It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult. It's just like for a little child to make a little tiny baby to make their parents happy. It's not difficult. They don't have to do a lot of work. So then everything we're doing, it's not that if I take shelter of Krishna, I'll be irresponsible and I'll be this and I'll be that. Do we see the great devotees? Are they irresponsible? Are they lazy? How many books Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote? Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. Prabhupada said, you have not seen the Vaishnava, Arjuna, Hanuman. They become more enthusiastic because they're doing out of service. And not that if you think Krishna is my protector and maintainer, if you're a householder, you don't earn a living anymore, or if you're a brahmachari, you don't do your service anymore. Well, the temple's not maintaining me, Krishna's maintaining me, I'll just sleep. Oh, this is my service. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, I see that the house belongs to you. My family members are your servants, and I'm taking care of them for you. Very simple. Or our own body. And Sanatana Goswami was so upset because he had these oozing sores all over his body. And he thought, I'm from a low family, and now I've got these oozing sores. So I am completely useless. I'll stay by the temple in Jagannath Puri, and when the pujaris walk by, they might touch me. And then they'll be contaminated. They'll have to go home and take another bath and change their clothes. I'll just be a problem. It's better if I just die in Jagannath Puri. I'll just fall under the Rath Yatra cart and die. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wait a minute, you gave me your body already. He said, you can't destroy somebody else's property. Right? Just imagine if I asked you, please hold my glasses case for me. You said, oh, he'll break it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I want to do things through your body. I have to stay in Jagannath Puri on the order of my mother. But I want to do things in Vrindavan. I can't do them. You have to do them. So the devotee who sees that Krishna is protecting him and maintaining him, he sees taking care of his body, keeping his body as his service, because it's not his body. It's Krishna's body. And it was always Krishna's body. But he gave it to Krishna. My clothes, my body, my home, my family, the people I live with in the ashram, they're all Krishna's. Therefore, as soon as you love Krishna, you love all living entities. Now, something magical happens when you do this. When we really say, I don't need any more toy soldiers. I want the real soldier. I want Krishna. He's my protector. He's my maintainer. I'm going to give myself to him and let him worry about protecting me and maintaining me. I'm going to do my service, not thinking that my service is what's maintaining me. Krishna's maintaining me. Something magical happens. And this is described very nicely in the Manashiksha of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami speaks about, in the first verse of Manashiksha, how the goal is to give up fruitive activities and to develop love. And he lists a whole list for whom we should develop love: Krishna, Guru, Vrindavan, the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, our Gayatri Mantra, the holy name of Krishna. Talks about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there as Radha and Krishna, how we take shelter of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. Then he goes through several verses talking about how we give up all these plastic soldiers. How one gives up lust, one gives up pride, one gives up deceit. And then he has this wonderful verse, it's in text 8 of Manashiksha, where once one has let go of all these plastic soldiers and really taking shelter of Krishna, then Krishna says to you, I am going to put you under the shelter of Radharani. She's going to take care of you. She's your worshipful deity. She's your worshipful deity. And the rest of Manashiksha details how one worships Srimati Radharani, why one should worship Srimati Radharani, how one worships Radha and Krishna, what is Radha's relationship to Krishna. But that is what happens. And even if, like Prabhupada's talking here about worshiping just Krishna, but this is the case also if you worship Lord Ramachandra. When Hanuman worships Lord Ramachandra, under whose shelter does he come? Sita. Sita Devi. She accepts him, oh, you're my son. Correct? I'm taking care of you. So that when Hanuman's tail was lit on fire, it fell to him like cooling water. I'm taking care of you, she said. And Sudama Brahmana gives his rice to Krishna in Dwarka. Under whose shelter does he come? Who gives him shelter? Rukmini. So this is what we're looking for. I know that there's a lot of strange modern propaganda, but the way of nature is that children have a mother and a father. That's the way of nature. And we have the shelter of both the mother and the father. You have a little different relationship, isn't it, with your mother and your father? And if we think Krishna and Radharani, they are the perfected ideal of mother and father. So when one has the shelter of such a mother and father, what is the problem? No, there's no problem. It's so sweet to be under the shelter of Srimati Radharani. Of course, we talk about how Krishna is very sweet. Madhuradi patera kilam maduram, maduram. Krishna is so sweet. But Radharani is even more sweet. Therefore, when Krishna takes her mood, he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he just wants to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. He's in his mood of Krishna. He's a little bit more stern. And when he's in his mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes to Varanasi and he says, this load I have of love of God is kind of heavy. I don't want to have to carry it back with me, and nobody can pay the price. I'll just give it for free, even to the Mayavadis. All the Mayavadis were chanting Hare Krishna. So this is our process, in a nutshell. Prabhupada's so expert that we find in this purport everything. Everything. We take shelter of Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Krishna, you are my maintainer, and you are my protector. That's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India. Krishna 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 Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna 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 Rakshana. What's a nice mantra if you ride a bicycle around Vrindavan? The positive thing about riding a bicycle around Vrindavan is you're going, Rakshaman, Rakshaman, at every moment. But that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing us. That's the mood of the devotee. You're my protector. And you can maintain me and protect me whatever way you want. Whatever way you want. Sometimes the parents protect the children by taking them to the doctor and giving them an injection. Right? They don't always protect their children by giving them sweets. Sometimes they protect them and maintaining them by sending them to school or by telling them to clean their room. So we trust. This taking shelter of Krishna means I trust that however Krishna wants to protect me and maintain me is fine with me. He's going to take care of everything in his own perfect way, even if it doesn't look perfect to me. You know, one of my friends here in Vrindavan is saying how Radha and Krishna are very expert chess players. You know that? Now, Balaram's not such a good chess player. He had that interesting lila with the king of Kalinga and Rukmi. But Krishna is a very good chess player. Radharani also plays chess. You know that, right? It's part of their midday pastimes. If you go to Radhakund, right near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sitting place, that was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, where there's a platform out in Shamakund, which is where Radha and Krishna play chess in the middle of the day. So they're both very expert chess players. Any of you ever play chess? Have you ever played chess? So you know when you play chess, in order to make the move you want to make, you have to make a lot of moves first. You really have to be a strategist. And sometimes the moves you make first don't make any sense by themselves. Right? Somebody may think, why are you moving this pawn over there? Why are you moving the castle over there? But you have a long vision. So when we're under Krishna's protection and maintenance, it's like that. We're now pawns on his chessboard. Maybe some of you are queens and kings and knights and castles, but I am. Rooks, I'm just a pawn. But, you know, he wants us to go even if we're pawns. You know what happens when the pawn goes to the other side of the board, right? Becomes a queen. So Krishna has a glorious plan for each of us. Krishna and Radharani, they're playing chess with us. They have a glorious plan. Something wonderful, where everything we want. So many. Someday I'll count all the places where Prabhupada says that Krishna fulfills all of our desires. More than what we want. More than what we want. I mean, if we think of what the shelter of all these plastic soldiers will get us, and what the shelter of Radha and Krishna will get us, there's no comparison. The broken glass and the diamond, the jewelry store. The owner of Tiffany's jewelry instead of broken glass. And we may not understand the chess moves he's making with us. You know, he's making some move. Why are you doing this? How? What kind of protection and maintenance is this, Krishna? That wasn't what I signed up for. My local authority in the temple just yelled at me and told me to get out. My wife's mistreating me. My body's sick. My roof is leaking. What kind of protection and maintenance is this? It's a move on the chessboard. And then you find that, oh, what does that lead to? 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 And all of a sudden you're on the other side of the board. Have we seen this? Hey, we've all seen this. We've all been in situations and we thought, where is Krishna? Where is he? No, he's moving you around. Why is he doing this to me? We don't see the next move ahead. We're like novices sitting at the Russian chess tournament, not knowing what they're doing. It's a big chessboard, Radha and Krishna play on with the whole universe. But we learn to have some trust. I mean, I don't know. What do I know? My mind and my body are just as much a plastic soldier as anything else. How do I know? Do my plans always work out perfectly? So I trust. Krishna is going to maintain me. Krishna is going to protect me in his own perfect way. He's going to fulfill all of my desires in his own perfect way. I don't need any other shelter, ever. I don't need it. I can let it go. I can grow up and throw my toys in the rubbish bin. I don't need them anymore. Do you remember not needing your toys anymore? Do you remember that time? When you were 12, 13, 14, 11, something like that. Do you remember? When you didn't need your toys anymore? So let's grow up in Krishna consciousness. Get rid of your toys. We don't need these fallible soldiers. Let Krishna take care of us. Then we work harder, but as a servant, not as a master. And then all of a sudden we find that Krishna says, hey, guess who's going to take care of you now? Instead of the lady with her tongue hanging out on the tiger with the trident. You've seen her, right? Especially if you've been to Bengal. That's what happens when you take shelter of lust and ahankar. Then she's the master. She's not a very ordinary mother, Mother Kali. I ain't got a trident. If an ordinary mother did that, she'd go to jail. So we get free of that trident and we come under the shelter of Radha. Such a nice shelter. So who would not want to do that? What are we waiting for? What is our hesitancy? What is our doubt? What is our fear? Do we really think that being under a tiger with a trident piercing us is going to give us what we want? Prabhupada said the difference between ordinary life and Krishna conscious life, very small. But just like, you know, when two lines are going, if one turns just slightly, just a millimeter, it ends up in a very different place. The change is very small. Very small. Krishna is my shelter. He can do with me whatever he wants. And whatever he wants is good. And it's okay. And I trust it. I'm not going to tell him what to do with me. I'm not going to argue with him about what to do with me. He can do with me whatever he wants. I just want to serve him, and I'm going to just trust him. That's it. That's all. It's really not a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to get up the courage to do. It's a very easy thing to do. It's like jumping off a high dive. Anybody ever jumped off a high dive? Anybody ever jumped off a high dive? No. Hardly any of you? How old was I? I was maybe 10. We were visiting my relatives overseas, and they took me to a swimming pool that had a high dive. I mean, a really high dive. Like as high as the spire on the temple here. So high. And all these people looked like they were having so much fun jumping in. So I climbed the ladder, and I'm climbing the ladder. I'm like, you know, and I get to the top and I'm looking down at the water. I don't know, you know. And I kind of moved off to the side, just kind of sat there and watched everybody else jump off. And they were, you know, and they were coming up again. And I don't know if I want to jump on. And once I jumped off, it was so much fun. That they couldn't, I didn't want to go home. So we're thinking, if it's so much difficulty to make the decision to jump, jumping will be really difficult. No, it's not like that at all. Once you make the decision to surrender to Krishna, it's easy. Why is it easy? It's our nature. It's who we are. It's natural. It's like breathing. It's nothing. It's making the decision to do it. It's so difficult and so conflicted, and I'll give this up and this whop and this whop and this whop and this whop, and I'll be lying on the street at quadriplegic without anything to eat. Nobody will love me anymore. if I surrender to Krishna, I've read about what Krishna does to people who surrender to him. He takes away their money. And then their family and friends don't love them anymore. And I know devotees, they really surrender to Krishna. Boy, they really went through awful things. I mean, you never think that the people who didn't surrender to Krishna went through awful things too. It's not that people who don't surrender to Krishna don't get cancer or die or something like that. So our mind is telling us, like, all these terrible things will happen. But you see, the people who actually surrender to Krishna internally, they're very happy people. They're happy people even if everybody blasphemes them, if their reputation is ruined, if their money is taken away, if they're thrown out of the temple. You know, Prabhupada was thrown out of the Delhi temple of the Gaudiya Math. Do you know that? Do you know that? When Prabhupada took the Vanaprastha order, he first was staying at the Gaudiya Math temple in Delhi, and he had a plan that for the same amount of money they could print 800 copies of their magazine instead of 400. And the head of the temple was very upset. He said, then we'll have to distribute them. He said, you're causing trouble. Serious? And Srila Prabhupada said, I want to go out and preach, but my dhotis have holes. I need 2 dhotis. He said, I'm very sorry. You can see the letter. The letter to Srila Prabhupada. I'm very sorry. We cannot supply you with 2 dhotis. Imagine. We cannot supply you with 2 dhotis. I think it's better if you go to Vrindavan. I heard there's a parikram there. You can join the parikram. They threw him out politely. Politely. Prabhupada was always joyful. Vidura was thrown out of his house, wasn't he? By Duryodhana. But he was, he said, oh, good opportunity to go on pilgrimage. So many fears. This might happen, that might happen. So what if it does? Say, that's all right. Krishna, if you want to take away my money, if you want to take away my clothes, you want to take away my home, you want to take away my family, you want to take away my intelligence, you want to take away my body's capacity to function, you want everyone in ISKCON to hate me, whatever. Okay. If that's your move on the chessboard, I accept, because I know you're going to bring me to the other side. And then one becomes happy. Then one becomes happy. And then Krishna says, oh, you've surrendered to me? Ah. Guess whose shelter you're under? Now you're under the shelter of Radharani. This is such a nice verse. I actually have a whole multimedia presentation on this verse. I have it in English, Hungarian, and Russian. And I was thinking of showing it, and I thought, well, there's no wall here to project anything. Maybe.
We could make a wall.
We could make a wall. Well, if you'd like me to give the presentation. When you told me it was this verse, I was so excited. I was like, so questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements. Yes.
Take the mic.
Take the mic. And speak into the mic, not over there.
So, these valuable soldiers, sometimes we have to make decisions with them, which are either Krishna conscious or Maya conscious. But we have to deal with devotees also. So, what is the actual fine line between seeing devotees as valuable soldiers or devotees as
objects
of our service and sacrifices also?
Wonderful question. Look at where you emotionally have your shelter. Do I think that the devotees I'm serving are going to give me protection and maintenance and meet my needs? Am I seeing that they're going to give something to me, they're going to be Krishna for me? And if they don't, I become angry or hurt or sad. Or am I getting my satisfaction from my relationship with Krishna and I'm seeing them as my service? The best way you can judge is if the devotees that you're serving, if sometimes they don't treat you in the way that you would like or they don't do for you what you would like, how do you respond emotionally?
If you become hurt and sad and offended and scared and angry, then you have them as a false shelter. If you just think, okay, well, it's all right. I have my relationship with Krishna. I'm sorry this person is having a bad day. Something must be, I'm sorry, something that's bothering them. Maybe there's some way that I can help them. See, if you have something as a shelter, just think about it for a minute. Let's say that you took all your money and you put it in a bank, and you're walking down the street and the bank is burning down. You know, how do you react? When Krishna's in the coils of Kaliya, it said that all the residents of Vrindavan were very distressed because they had invested everything in Krishna. Everything was invested. Krishna's gone, then we don't have anything anymore. Everything's finished. That's where we've put all our investments. So the reason that I become emotionally, the reason I become angry, which usually is from fear, almost all anger comes from fear. The reason I'm angry, the reason I'm afraid, the reason I'm irritated, annoyed, hurt, sad, whatever, with the dealings of other people, or with some dealing with my body and my health or my arrangement, is because I have that as my shelter. If I don't have that as my shelter, then what does it matter? I mean, another very simple example that I give a lot is if you're invited to somebody's house and you expect them to feed you and you've come hungry and they don't feed you, you're not going to be very happy. But if you're already eaten, it doesn't matter if they feed you or not. If I already have my relationship with Krishna, then how other people treat me and what happens in this world doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If my house burns down, but my house wasn't my shelter anyway. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrecked his house, you know that story? I could like dance it and stuff, but I'd get criticized. You do something to keep you awake, you know. But then people would say it's not really a traditional class, so you're going to have to stay awake with my just sitting here and speaking. Sorry. There, wake up. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time, he said to his mother, I really would like a garland to worship Mother Ganga. And his mother said, okay, I'll get it for you in a minute. And he couldn't tolerate 1 minute delay, and he wrecked the whole house. Broke the whole house to smithereens. Not only the house, all the boga, he spilled all the oil, all the grains, everything. He destroyed everything in the house. And then he was tired and went to sleep. When he woke up, Sajjamaja said, the house is wrecked. And that's okay because it's your house. If you want to wreck it, it's your business. But I don't know how I'll cook for you. So she had the right shelter. She said, it's your house. If you want to wreck it, you can wreck it. I don't know how I'm going to cook for you. My problem is, you know, I'm not quite sure I'm going to do my service. Kitchen. And then Lord Chaitanya went out and came back with this large quantity of gold. And he said, here, now you can pay to fix everything. And she was kind of upset about that because she thought maybe he stole it. So she went around asking everyone in the village, don't worry, you might have this gold. But that's how you can tell. Is it service or shelter? Is that all right?
If it is a shelter, then how we should turn it into a service?
If it's our shelter, how do we turn it into a service? Just Krishna is going to protect me, Krishna is going to maintain me. Krishna is going to maintain me, Krishna is going to... If you start seeing, if you start experiencing, first of all, recognize, like Prabhupada wrote this letter, that if we don't get along with other people, it's our lack of Krishna consciousness, not theirs. generally, if I don't get along with someone, I think that's because they're not Krishna conscious. If they were Krishna conscious, they'd get along with me. Sounds really funny. I think that way all the time. So if I'm having some problem getting along, you know, being able to deal with people, I mean, some people are not dealable with, but if I'm becoming all emotionally disturbed, if I'm emotionally disturbed by reverses in my life, then I to take the time and say, oh, that's because I'm taking this thing or circumstance or person or place or job or whatever as my shelter. I'm thinking it's what's going to maintain me and it's what's going to protect me. And that's why I'm reacting this way. Because when it's shaken, I become afraid. Wait a minute. Who's taking care of me? Who's taking care of me? Krishna's taking care of me. This house was never taken care of me. This person was never taken care of me. Krishna's taking care of me. Just tell yourself that. And after a while, it'll become automatic. If there's a sadhana. So first one practices, and one practices somewhat artificial. But because it's our nature, if you practice the nature, it revives the actual nature. Like the child practices to walk. At first they have to think, what foot do I put here and what foot do I put here and how do I do this? But because it's natural to walk, it's ingrained in the body. Is that all right? And then think, I have one friend I wrote out for her. Krishna is your husband. So-and-so Das is your service. I said, every time you get mad at him, read this. I give you. No, it's too close. Huh? We should have a little sign on it. Hold so many inches away.
Mataji, thank you very much for your beautiful class. I have always a question because the problem in my life and in this world is the suffering, you see. I see there is so much suffering everywhere, you see, suffering. And we take shelter of Krishna. And then we see, even we suffer ourselves, we can tolerate, but when we see others are suffering so much, we don't understand why our sweet Lord is allowing this suffering to go on. Like, for example, in our movement, we have Bhakti Tirtha Swami, such a wonderful devotee, who was a pure devotee of the Lord, my beloved brother Tamakrishna Goswami, or Prabhupada, who was a cow, you know, hurt him, you see, with her horn. Or today's Christmas, Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, you see. And how Krishna is our father. If our children will not allow our children to go through so many pains, you see.
Oh,
you
sure see? You would. Sure you would.
No.
Yes, you would.
You wouldn't
agree with me. Yes, you would. Oh, yes, you would. I know one boy. I know one boy in London. Young boy. He had a bad cold that wouldn't go away. And his parents took him to the doctor. And they said, you know, he's had this cold for like 2 months and he's just not able to get better. He just keeps sneezing and he gets a fever. And they did some tests and they said, your boy has leukemia. So the parents put him in the hospital. He had to have surgery. He had to have chemotherapy, which is horrible. Chemotherapy is horrible. So why did the parents make their son have chemotherapy? They love their child. Why did they put him in the hospital and make him have chemotherapy? Because he's sick and they want him to get better. So if you're going to speak about the conditioned souls, we have allowed ourselves to become ill. And the cure is therefore sometimes painful. So if the doctor gives you, especially if the illness is self-inflicted, think about somebody who becomes addicted to alcohol or heroin or something like that. Because our addiction to Maya